Right, it's time for the podcast. How are you going, Scott?
Okay. Good? Yeah, good. I'm still here.
Do you need to cough anything else?
I don't think so, but there may be some coughing during the actual podcast.
You unwell?
I'm a little. I've got the lurgy.
Yeah,
the
just swallow someone who didn't agree with you.
He's been in bed with a nasty wog all morning.
Oh.
Coming to you live from 1978. It's Talking Puffy.
This is the podcast. Fabulous and Richard Outrageous. Scott Brennan, punctual Toby Sullivan. We've got more shit jokes after this.
Oh, honey, I've got sheet music and gorgeous gowns and a good underwire bra. I could go on now.
Talk Puffy to me.
It's time for Dear Talking Puffy.
Great.
Or as Wes calls it, the lettuce segment.
The lettuce segment. Why do we do it?
Why do we
just cause?
You know, maybe we need to go back in time and remember where the lettuce came from.
Oh, he'll be furious.
He'll be furious.
Let's do it.
So do it.
Oh, wow. Salad, anyone?
Why are we going back in time? Just cause? You can look forward to that joke in this bit.
Yeah, that's great.
It's a long way back, isn't it?
Quite a distance. We're waiting for you to stop playing the fucking harp, Toby.
I have to rehearse at some stage.
Right.
Welcome back, Wes Snelling, our emergency poof, we like to call
him. Yes.
You know, sometimes Toby has what's referred to as a pressing engagement in inverted commas, or as we call it, oh, not those faggots again, I can't hang out with them.
Yeah.
Can't you get Wes to do it?
I have to go to Thailand sometimes to get my injections. So I can't always be here.
We often have Wes Snelling, you are our emergency poof, and I'd like to now take our listeners on a journey to a gig we did one night
back.
The Glass House for a room full of very receptive lesbians. And Wes, you shared something with us on stage that night that I still cannot get over.
Oh, no. I've heard about this. And I want to know the full story. I see this through a glass darkly. I don't understand the top to bottom.
I can't believe
you have put me in this position.
Please.
Is it true what I hear?
Oh, wow.
Come on, tell everyone
believe
what happened.
Believe this.
No.
Look, all I'm going to say is that I can't believe this.
I will admit to something equally revolting.
You go first.
No, you have to tell me your story. Go.
Yours might be, you admit to revolting things all the time.
No, come on, tell everyone.
Let's just say there was nothing else in the fridge but a lettuce.
And you were hungry. And
I was hungry.
MacGyver would be proud. MacGyver would be proud and Jamie Oliver would be proud.
I just want to know, I know you've mentioned the lettuce. I just want to know logistically what you did with the lettuce. Like, how did it work? Like,
You are obsessed with it because
I am obsessed.
Since I talked about a lettuce, you send me emails pretty much every third day. Of photos of lettuces from the internet going, here's your boyfriend.
And then he forwards them on to me as well.
They look really inviting.
I don't understand why. Look, I'll say that logistically. Well, it's you can shed it.
Right.
And, you know, and bear in mind that there is a moisture that arrives with the lettuce.
I don't even know why you're asking this. There's only so many ways you can skin a cat, as it were.
Right.
What do you think happened?
Well, I just...
Was the lettuce in a sling?
In my head, Wes has bummed himself off with a lettuce and he's now growing like a carrot out of his ass. But I'm assuming it was around the front end.
By the way, this is not a fetish. It's not something that I secretly go to the supermarket for.
Yeah, you don't hang around lettuces. Vic Market on a Saturday morning and in an overcoat.
That mescaline's getting me hot.
Yeah. I'm just going to take the Safeway catalogue and go to the toilet.
You don't hang around greengrocers at closing time hoping to get the peaches $1 a kilo off. It was just everyone does stupid stuff. Everyone.
We've all had a crack at something.
Everyone's done something
ill-advised. Why would you do something like that, Scott?
Just cause.
Hey! Hey!
Hang
So what about you, Adina?
All right, here's an admission, and this is going to be a little bit hurdies, so I do apologise in advance.
Okay.
But there was a time when I was feeling a little bit excited, got home from, you know, a big night at Club 80 where no one wanted to have sex with me, and got home and went, oh, I've had so much amyl, I could probably fit anything in. Right about now.
And that's what happened to the Beaumont children.
I was in the toilet and I removed the toilet dolly and the toilet rolls and I fucked myself with the wooden that you put the toilet roll on.
Oh, my God.
Splinters.
There were no splinters, thankfully. It was very highly polished and had a glaze.
Well, it did by the end. Oh, my God.
You hit yourself a fissure with that one.
Wow.
I do have to get a little couple of stitches now.
That is genius.
You know, have you ever had that when you just get home and go, I need to do something hideous to myself.
Yeah.
I need to go to sleep.
When I was house-sitting your house, Scott, when you were in New York and I was staying in your bedroom.
Yeah, where's this going?
There was a cupboard involved.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well,
now, you found something under his bed, I believe, when you were staying in Scott's bedroom.
And that's really what happened to the Beaumont children.
It wasn't the shoebox, was it?
It was the shoebox.
Oh, okay.
What's in the shoebox?
Oh, no.
No, actually, I didn't. What happened was, I think, is that there was a couple of bottles of amyl sitting next to Scott's bed.
It's Scott's house.
We know that Scott loves his amyl.
Yeah, and I was like, why is it? You've got so much amyl. And then he goes, here, have a look at this, and pulls out a shoebox. There were literally, 40 bottles?
There would have been 40 bottles in there because I went through this period.
Thought you were Dan Murphy?
Yeah.
Yes. Scott went to cash in the bottles and bought a house.
That's right, yeah. No, I was treating them like...
He was going on a holiday to Adelaide and they got a 10-cent return.
I was treating them like Pokemon. I thought I had to get everyone. But
got to catch them all.
Got to get them all.
You go through a lot of ammo.
I do. I drink like a fish. But I did go through a period of just being into ammo and going out and getting drunk and going, oh, I don't have any ammo. I'll buy some. And buying some. And then having a really good night. And then going out the next night and going, oh, I left my ammo at home. Oh, I'll just buy some. And buying another. And so I would just, over kind of months, I accumulated...
Those old Fab detergent ads where they open the cupboard and it's just cascade of lemon. Clink, 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 clink.
I think I have spotted a little bit of a lie in your story there, Scott.
What's that?
I went through a little bit of a phase.
Oh, yeah.
I was into ammo.
When did the phase begin, Scott?
And when will it end?
I've gotten through the phase of buying a different bottle every night now.
Yeah, no,
I'm being a little more frugal, but I'm still, you know, bang up for it.
We're in the cafe downstairs before you got here.
Oh, my God.
And Scott opens his bag and goes, oh, two bottles of ammo. He has for travelling purposes because he's catching a tram.
That's right.
In case one springs a leak.
Sure, you could find somewhere that sells it by the cask.
Well, yeah, yes. I want to get it in six packs. I want to get a slab of ammo.
You know what you need? You need like a giant Pez dispenser. So that you just pull out one bottle and the next one just pops out the top. And you just...
Oh, dear. We've all shared too much. Toby, you haven't shared anything.
That's because I haven't done anything.
Do you want some ammo?
I've never done anything.
You can have one of mine. I've got a spare.
What's the worst thing I've done?
I can't believe that you haven't done it. There's got to be...
Oh, look, it's all pretty pedestrian. It's all pretty ordinary. I do remember going to one of the dance parties at the docks years ago and getting a bit giddy and then going into the back room, and it was a bit like you know, Narnia. I went into the back room.
There was a fawn waiting for you.
I went into the back room and I came out sometime later and I'd lost my hat, I'd lost my jacket, buttons ripped off my shirt. And I don't remember any of it. It's just like, what? Who is in the back room? Like a werewolf? Like, are there piranhas that have... Oh, my stars. So that's the sort of the most shameless thing.
Poor sookie.
Haven't fucked a vegetable. Haven't fucked a vegetable or an animal.
Oh, no, we've met your boyfriend, yeah. Toby. That's not entirely true.
I'm sorry, Pete. I'm sorry, Pete. I'm sorry, Pete.
Pete always gets the raw end of the deal.
Yeah.
Well, as far as I can manage. Hey, ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling.
Going out with Toby, it's very raw.
Yeah, sir, I never thought I'd say this, but I feel a little bit conservative because I've only fucked living things.
I thought Venice was alive.
Do you know what I feel bad about? You know I feel a bit silly about? I don't have a tattoo.
Oh, I don't have a tattoo.
No, I've been thinking a lot about tattoos lately.
Have you got? No one's got a tattoo.
None of us have tattoos.
I think we're the only four people in the world that don't have a tattoo. Yeah. I'm starting to think it's me.
No, I think, no, I don't like them. No. I did want one for a really long time, but now that I'm on the cusp of 40, I think, I'm kind of glad I didn't go there.
Yeah, I was actually going to get one for a little while. I was actually going to get my long-term partner's initial tattooed onto me.
Was that E for everyone?
Yeah. No, that was B for best friend. Yeah. So that was kind of lucky that I didn't actually go through.
Because you were together for what?
We were together for 14 years.
14 years.
Yeah.
And you would be out doing the wino forever right now.
Yeah, that's pretty much. Yeah.
You know, the Johnny Depp tattoo?
Yeah.
Winona forever. And
wino forever.
What would you get, Wes?
Well, I was actually looking last night and I thought, and this is probably why I haven't got it yet.
Stupid. Used by May 2011.
No, it's a little outline of an iceberg.
It's actually, it is a bit, it's very, it's, and I'm quite, it's the cover of Bette Midler's first album. Because it's really cool.
A giant gay vortex just opened up and is about to swallow us all.
Because her first self-titled... Her first self-titled album is really cool and it was... Shh, everybody quiet.
Wow. We don't need to hear anymore.
We can't talk.
I'm crying.
So this is why I shouldn't get it, then.
Oh, my God.
Is this what's going to happen?
Where are you going to get it?
If you say you're forehead, I'm going to kill you.
Where are you thinking of getting this tattoo?
Well, I was thinking, you know, on my...
Oh, my God, this is so good for my abs.
It's a good album cover.
He hasn't given up yet. He's still coming. Yeah, he's insisting.
Because do you know what it's like?
Where are you going to get it put?
Do you know the cover I'm talking about?
No.
It's like one of those ladies that are on trucks, like on the truck man.
Yeah. All right. Yes.
You know, right, so you get the design. You wouldn't get like the little barcode and the little, you know,
no,
copyright.
Explicit lyrics. Yeah.
It's like a
$4.99 at JB.
It's like a silhouette of her.
Right.
And
I can't. Anyway,
I'm quite serious.
Where are you getting this Bette Midler album? Are you going to get it tattooed in the wind beneath your wings?
Okay.
Or are you going to get it under the boardwalk?
What will it look like from a distance?
Wow. Well, it was either that or Gloria Stefan cuts both ways.
I want to be that tattooist. I want to be that tattooist. I'll be with you in a minute, mate. I just got to finish putting this dragon on the back of this this armed robber. What do you want? I'd like Bette Midler's first. Debbie, one for you.
Seriously, you thought we laughed. Wait till you go to a tattoo parlor. Wes Snelling, as always, you have been...
thank you so much, Wes.
Been a delight. Amazing. A delight, a pleasure, and tattooed freak.
I'm getting it now.
Hope it's not anywhere where sex partners can see it, because that is an instant soft on.
Well, it depends if you're fucking Barry Manilow. It might help. It might add to the proceedings.
It's right on your date.
Oh. You know what? That's going to happen. You're going to be getting around with your Bette Midler tattoo. You'll meet someone with a Barry Manilow tattoo and just go, like, it's meant to be.
Totes.
Or you meet someone with a Barbara Hershey tattoo. We just cry.
Hillary Whitney?
Hillary Whitney.
That'll do.
I was hoping it would just go for like 5 minutes.
It does. It completely does.
I was going to start singing over the top of it.
There must be an angel. Oh, dear. Well, that was that.
That's where it all began.
Yep.
Anyway, now we have a letter.
Right.
Not a letters.
Okay.
Right.
From Bevan. Long time listener, first time emailer. My name's Bevan.
Hi, Bevan.
I'm 24. I'm one of the few men in Melbourne who's not had sex with Scott yet.
I noticed he didn't say yet.
He may have had sex with you and not known that you were on the other end of that glory hole.
Quite possibly.
I've been with my boyfriend for 3 years and I'm over it!
Oh, wow.
It's just boring. Talk about lesbian bed death.
Okay, well, lesbian bed death.
He's homo everything death. Oh. My friends refer to him as the fun police. It's time for our relationship to be over, but it's hard because I still love him. Here's my question. What day of the week is the best for breakups? I reckon Friday, because you get the weekend to recover and go to work on Monday with that designer bags under your eyes.
That's
yeah,
right.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's
looking
good.
Forward to hearing back. Much love, Bevan.
Just have a huge breakup. Piss on. Get all your friends around. Just go, guess what? Fun police has been sacked.
Yep.
Let's go, everyone.
Yeah, Friday, so that he's got the weekend to get over it, and you've got the weekend to just go out and fuck everything.
Yeah. Although he'll be turning up.
You know what it's like. Looking at you with puppy dog eyes.
You know what it's like when the breakup first happens. They turn up on your doorstep and they're like, "So have you rethought it?
Yeah, true.
Are we getting back together now?
Or a little pretext? I just thought I'd drop your shoes back.
All that shit.
Fuck.
Yeah. And then like a week later, the note appears in your letterbox.
I came by, but there was someone else's car in your driveway, so I thought I better not come in.
Passive aggressive note.
Yeah.
You know, I wish it was like high school. Remember in high school you just got to someone and you say you're dropped and then that was it? Like in Puberty Blues. Like it was just done.
It totally dropped.
Done like a dog's dinner.
Rather than all the agony.
Oh, now it's like, you know, there's crying, there's let's go out to dinner so you don't cause a scene.
Oh yes. Oh, God.
It's like it's very Justin and Selena.
You know, it's interesting, the young guys, like, they're committing early, aren't they?
Yes.
They're committing early and committing hard. They're just so lezzo about it, aren't they?
I know. Is that because they're afraid of the AIDS? They're afraid. Like, you know, there's been a lot more talk about HIV lately, I think, than there has been for some time.
I have no idea. I wonder whether it's because this sounds ridiculous. They're not as ashamed of being gay as we were.
I was just about to say that. I reckon for years, and particularly when we were growing up, you know, there was, you know, like being gay was a lonely lifestyle. And
I saw men holding hands at Northland yesterday.
Good God.
Oh, would never have happened in my day.
Yes. But when we were growing up, gay men were promiscuous. Everyone just rooted each other.
That was the received culture you'd sort of inculcated.
Scott received a lot of that culture. I've missed him. I kept making the jokes. He just weren't here.
Oh, damn it.
But you know what I mean? Now a teenage gay comes out and there's all this talk about getting married and all this sort of stuff. So maybe now they're receiving that the aim of life is to get into a stultifying relationship. Yes. It's possible.
It's true, I think that, you know, there are lots of kind of high-profile gay couples now.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's kind of what you do.
Ellen and Portia.
Exactly.
And now all the young guys are...
Molly and Bert.
Rhonda and Rhonda.
And the other bitsy thing that the young guys are doing that I can see is when they break up in that lesbian way of not really breaking up and staying friends with everybody's exes.
All
this sort of stuff. People should be more cynical, I think, and just... Just break up hard, break up sharp.
Oh, Bixie. She's just had a breakup.
Another one?
Yep.
She's just gotten into a relationship now, she said.
Really?
Oh, no, they're broken up again. She's taking the furniture.
She was just, you know, her girlfriend was just bringing her own rug into the kennel. No, out. Out, we're broken up.
What is that joke? What do lesbians take on the second date?
A moving furniture.
Yeah.
Hey, Bevan, if you want to be a cunt about it, text him.
Oh.
Text dump him.
No.
Oh, my God.
Send him Snapchat a message him. On Grindr.
Awesome.
I'm totally hooking up with someone else.
Yeah. I'm about to block you.
Send him a photo of you getting bummed off by someone else.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm about to block you.
I'm about to block you because we're broken up. Zing.
Zing. And look, I'm getting bummed.
Is there a day of the week that's good for breakups?
It's good for breakups.
I reckon Friday is a good one.
I reckon Monday.
Do you reckon?
Like that Monday is the, I think that's the humane way to do it. So you've got to go to work. You've got to have all those distractions in your life. You break up on Friday, the poor cunt's just going to be sitting there drinking his Aldi tequila.
No, it shouldn't be Monday because it won't stick. They always say never start a diet on a Monday.
Oh, yeah.
All that stuff.
It won't stick. You're right.
Phone him at work.
You and your callous breakup.
No.
Have you been fantasizing about having a callous breakup for a long time?
I've just been investigating how much it would cost to get a banner printed and fly it behind the helicopter.
Depending,
it's surprisingly reasonable.
Depending on where he works, though, find the receptionist and get them to announce it over the loudspeaker.
Ah.
He's gay. Ring up and complain about your mobile service. Yeah.
Or get a flight from Melbourne to Sydney.
And just tell whoever's serving you to say, can you let my boyfriend know he's dropped?
But I do like the way that, you know, this is the first time we've ever got a letter. Someone going, I still love him, but I know what I need to do.
Yeah.
I like this. I like the cut of Bevan's jib.
And it does happen that way. It's like you'll still be in love with someone. Like I was still in love with my boyfriend when we broke up, but it was, you know,
You just need to.
It was hurting me.
Yeah.
It was depressing.
You're on different paths.
Well, I was on better medication, so I didn't need him anymore.
Oh, okay.
All right, Bevan, I've got it, right? Leave your shoes on a beach.
What?
Change your name. Move to Singapore. Right, grow a beard, dye your hair, right, yes. Get a nose job.
Get a volleyball called Wilson.
Fake your death.
Fake your own death.
You can't fake your death.
Fake your own death.
You know, that never takes.
Too much? Too much?
It's a bit over the top, Tony. Okay.
Oh, I like the way you're thinking, though.
Then Bevan, call me.
Do you know what I think?
Yep. We'll have lunch and work it out.
Or get your boyfriend onto the Poofcast and we'll tell you which episode we're telling him that you're breaking up.
Yeah.
Ah.
We'll do it for you.
We'll do like a love song and excommunication.
Yes. We'll do it for you.
We can be the anti-love god.
Yeah.
This is, if you're not in Melbourne, there's like love songs and dedications. Like
that's
show.
That's a national thing.
It's not in Queensland. Do you know how many faggots there are in Brisbane listening to
us? Yes, it's on Mix. I'm sure you can get it on their website.
It's like, love songs and dedications. Yeah, people ring up and just go, I really love my boyfriend, Nikki, and can you send Rihanna's diamonds out? So we'll do love songs and excommunications.
Yeah.
Do we have to talk in that slow ass voice?
Yes.
Bevan has sent a message. He is still in love. Still wants you.
But you're the fun police.
You're a boring cunt and he wants you out of his life.
And now he's
Rihanna's diamonds.
Although
he's the chicken dance.
That would be an awesome song.
That would be a great.
That's a great breakup
great
song.
Dedication.
Because then, whenever he hears the chicken dance, he'll start crying. He'll be at like a really bad wog wedding and just go.
And just in the corner, slowly doing the moves, just
flapping the arm.
Then some fag hag will be cradling his shoulders, going, "Oh no, I'm the same with shut up in your face."
I get it with the time warp. I can't hear Nut Bush.
Theatre restaurants are dead to me forever. That's great. I love a breakup song. Yeah. I love a novelty breakup song.
Oh, my God. That is...
Come on and jump in my car.
It's reminding me of Scott's wanking and crying.
Cranking.
Cranking.
And vomiting. Oh, dear.
Well, there, I think we've answered that question.
I think we answered
well.
The fuck out of that. Yeah. Thanks, Bevan.
Many happy returns.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the poof cast. Sorry.
Yeah. Wow.
But you know what? Stop apologising. That was great. That was at least as good as several turds. That was at least as good as passing wind on
that
a
was
on
that
a
was can. You know, I know we've got a can of Mr. Sheen and a large turd, and we have polished that thing up.
Oh my God, we've done over 100 of these, so that turd is now a diamond.
Shine bright like a diamond. Shine bright like a diamond.
Why does Rihanna suddenly sound like Daffy Duck?
I don't know. I've been singing that song, but like I've been getting drunk because it's summer.
Right.
And
you've been getting drunk because you're alive.
Oh, I'm, yeah. But, you know, because I stay up late now because I don't have to go to work. And so I hear that song a lot at the gay bars and the like. And for some reason, one night when I was hammered, I started singing One Eye Like a Pirate. And I... I can't stop.
One eye like a pirate. One eye like
That's
a pirate.
That's great.
Oh, Weird Al, look out.
I really hate Rihanna. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's certain things I know for a fact. Like, if I ever met Robbie Williams, we would get on famously.
Yes.
I just know that.
Yes.
And if I ever met Rihanna, I would boil over with rage.
Right.
I would just be like, it'd be like, Toby, this is Rihanna.
You'd get all Chris Brown on her
this
ass.
This is Toby. Well, I mean, I think...
You would need a stepladder. I've met Rihanna, and she's a good foot taller than you. Right.
I think she's too big for me.
Right, okay.
But I would have so much built-up resentment.
No-talent asshole! Why are you doing that?
She's got a great team of producers, though.
Is
that a euphemism?
Like, no. There was one song she had out. Was it Only Girl in the World? Mm. That I was like, oh, I love this song. And then she'd start singing. I'm like, oh, that's right. It's Rihanna.
What I love about Rihanna is...
Is that
she's released 10 albums in 4 months.
Yeah.
My favourite thing about Flop Hannah.
Oh, you know what they say. Quantity. We'll be back next time on the Poofcast. The Rihanna slagging Poofcast.
The Rihanna slagging
Poofcast.
Rihanna, if you're listening, don't. I don't listen to you, and I don't want you listening to me.
So if you were a little kid and you had cancer, right?
Yeah.
And the Make-A-Wish Foundation came to you, would you just say, I want Rihanna to stop? Would that be like your wish?
Yes. Go on, Rihanna, what do you like more? Your career or cancer?
Yeah, there's not many questions that I will ask that start with, if you're a little kid and you had cancer.
Oh, my God.
I just want Rihanna to stop.
Where's in the
Where's the blue? I saw him the other night.
Where?
At
shops.
John.
Oh, on New Year's Day.
Yeah.
Yes.
Was it
at Club 80? No.
No, it was in the city.
And they had all those posters of men being fed sausages.
Yes.
Mm.
It's quite funny.
It was fun. Molly was there.
What a surprise.
Yeah.
Did he know?
Yeah.
Was he aware, or do you think he was just at the bottom of a ladder somewhere?
Just
all right.
All right.
Someone asked Molly, I saw in the lead up to Christmas, what's his favourite part about Christmas? And he goes, putting up the decorations.
Oh, no.
Bless.
Apparently that was all bullshit too.
What?
That whole putting up decorations thing. He was just munted and fell over.
Mm. Yeah,
apparently.
Surprise.
Yeah,
I thought it was strange that Molly Meldrum should be up a ladder putting up tinsel.
Yeah.
In his own house. Surely you get a little man in for that.
Does for everything else. I'm referring to handyman repairs.
Yeah.
There in the chicken and sweet corn spa.
He's very good at getting a little man in.
Chicken and sweet corn spa.
Oh, God.
You know that's what it'd look like.
Yeah, it would. But it would not only because of all the secretions, but because of all of his dry skin.
Ah!
Oh. Talk poofy to me.